welcome to worship today. We're so glad to have you with us. Want to draw your attention to things that are happening 2 weeks from today. We've got several things going on in the life of our congregation. We have talked some about how over the next few months we're going to focus on spiritual disciplines, different ways we can be intentional about trying to connect our lives to what God calls us to and to hear that call. September, we're going to look at service, and one of the main ways we're going to do that is 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a backpack packing, and we're probably going to do that either in the office complex or in the picnic shelter, depending on the weather, because the Byerly reunion is also that day right after church on the 15th. But we've bought, we're in the process of getting supplies for enough backpacks to send to Davis Townsend. I think we're going to try for like the rest of the calendar year. And we thought, well, let's get everybody who's interested together and we'll pack them all at one time. So if we can get an assembly line going, it shouldn't take too long at all. So hope that if you're able, you'll plan to pack backpacks with us for Davis Townsend on the 15th. And then also on the 15th, that afternoon at 5:30, we're going to have the kickoff event for Davidson Lutheran Youth, which is all the Lutheran churches in the county, middle and high school youth. We're going to try to do some things together every month, and the start for that is going to be here. We're going to play kickball and have a cookout, so middle and high school youth, hope you'll join us for that. If you all will tell the people you're connected to in your families and in your circles about that, so we can get a good crowd here for that. Are there other announcements? I will say one more thing. As we look at these spiritual disciplines, we've designated October as the month we're going to focus on worship. And what we're trying to say is, right now, it is just the case in most churches in the country that people are less regular church attenders than they used to be. And that's sort of the new reality, right, in a lot of ways. But there's no reason it needs to be the new reality. And we want to say, what if for 1 month we were in, we focused on better habits? Let's call this an experiment. I'm not asking you to commit your whole life, but what if for the month of October you made it a priority to be here every week and worship with us every week and just saw what that felt like and what that did to the rhythms of your life? And we can assess after a month and see where we are. But that's our invitation. For the month of October, you've got about a month's warning now. Check your calendar and make an effort. Let's see if we can be here every week together and see what that does to your life and your relationship with God. So file that away, start making plans. I hope to see everybody every week in September too. But in October, that's our special emphasis. So start making plans for October. Other announcements? We have any prayer shawls this morning? Judy is telling me something. Choir starts this Wednesday. Wonderful. So for you all who have been in the habit of being in the choir, that's wonderful. We'll see you Wednesday. For you all who have not necessarily been in the habit of being in the choir, but are thinking about new habits in your life with God, hey, join us on Wednesday at 7 o'clock and we'll sing. And I think singing is good for my soul, certainly, and probably for some of yours too. So 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We wish happy birthday this week to Jana and to Amy. Anybody else we should recognize with a special date in their life this week? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
so that we may delight
in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. We're coming this way. Okay. Hey, everyone. Hi. Okay. Okay, so I was making something, and some of you all can read. What's on this card? What does that say? You're invited. Yeah, and what else? There's some pictures here that if you use your imagination, you could maybe tell what I tried to draw. Balloons and a cake. So what does this look like? A birthday party invitation, right? I was trying to think who it would be good to invite to a birthday party, and here's the thing. I could only invite one person, okay? This is a very small, very exclusive birthday. And so I was trying to think, how should I decide who to invite? And I thought, well, maybe I could think about who gives the best presents that I know. That might be a good idea, right? If I want a good birthday present. You think I should invite everyone? Okay. If I were going to invite the person who gave the best presents, though, it might be maybe my sister is really good at planning presents. My brother, not so much. So maybe my sister. But maybe here's another idea. What if I invited the person who has the best toys because they might bring some of their toys and share, and we could play with cool toys? You have so many? Maybe I should invite you. Yeah, would you share them with me? Okay, well, think about that. I have a friend who has a really cool toy. It's a boat in a lake, and that's a pretty cool toy. Maybe I should invite her, you think? Or what if I invite the person who has the best snacks? That's a pretty good consideration. Mason thinks that's the way I should go, I can tell. Yeah, okay. My Aunt Laura probably has the best snacks, so maybe it should be her. But what are some other ways I could maybe pick who I should invite? What do you think? The person who loves God the most. That's a good children's message answer, yeah? Yeah, what do you think, Ashton? How should I pick? You think I should invite everyone? Well, I think that's a pretty good idea. Jesus is talking, though, about a party in our gospel lesson for today. And Jesus says that we shouldn't choose who we hang out with based on the good things that they might do for us, but that we should choose who we hang out with based on what other people need. So, who here knows anybody else? Does anybody know anyone? Okay, that's a weird question. You all know some people, right? Some of you know people at school who are your friends. Some of you know people at daycare who are your friends. Have you ever noticed that there are some people who have lots of friends and some people who don't have as many friends? Have you guys ever noticed that? Maddie has. Okay. I know when I was in school that there were some kids in my class who were really fun and easy to get along with, and there were some kids in my class that sort of were hard to get along with. Maybe they didn't play nice, or maybe they looked a little strange in how they dressed or how they smelled or something. Have you guys ever noticed that sometimes there are people who don't quite fit in? Jesus talks about we shouldn't try to invite people and hang out with people who can only do things for us, that we should also try to seek out people who we can do things for and who we can be kind to and who we can make a difference in their lives by being kind. So if there were somebody in your class or at your daycare who didn't have many friends, what are some ways that you could maybe be kind to them? Ashton, what you got? What's a way that you could be nice to somebody who wasn't always very nice? What, Mason? Give him a gift. That would be nice. Or maybe even if you've got a good toy that you're playing with or something, share it with them, right? Invite them to play with you. Yeah, I think that would be a great thing. Invite them to come play with you. Maddie, were you thinking of something else? How about some of you have assigned seats at lunch, but some of you don't yet. You might one day. What about inviting somebody to sit with you at lunch who doesn't have anybody to sit with them? That would be a good way to be kind to somebody. Yeah, absolutely. What about saying nice things to somebody who might be sad or alone? Or just talking to somebody who doesn't have anybody to talk to? Those are all ways that we could be really kind to people who everybody else in the class might not be kind to. For us, it's about more than being nice. It's what Jesus calls us to do, to seek out the people who are by themselves and who don't have anybody to be with them, and to be with them and to be kind to them is what we want to do. So these are all really good ways we can do that, talking to people who don't have anybody to talk to, inviting them to do things with us, like eat with us or come to our birthday parties, and sharing things with them. Those are all great ways. So, for some of us, this might be a couple years off, and you guys are trying hard to stay with me, and I appreciate that, but we'll keep talking about this, and we'll grow into it. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, help us to be kind, especially to the people who people aren't kind to, especially to the people who people aren't kind to. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. If you are going to Children's Church, you can line up at the door over here. And if you are staying, you're welcome to stay, and you can go back and have a seat.
a reading from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 112 and will be read responsively by whole verse. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments.
Your descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved, they will be remembered forever.
They are not afraid of evil tidings, their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord.
Their hearts are steady, they will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph over their foes.
They have distributed freely, they have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing.
The second reading from today is from Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who were in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who were being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So these days, most every grocery store you walk into has some sort of loyalty discount program, right? Where you swipe your card or enter your phone number and you get a great discount, supposedly. But it wasn't always like that, was it? There was a simpler time when there was just one price for things. And sure, things would go on sale, but it was a sale that was available to everybody. You didn't have to have any sort of special status to access it. I remember those days, and so I remember how strange it felt when these discount programs first started popping up everywhere. And the very first one I came across was the Vic card at Harris Teeter. Vic, of course, stands for Very Important Customer. They still have this, I think, although I think now you can get it in an app instead. But back when it all started, you're getting your groceries one day and everything is normal, and then suddenly the next day, the poor cashiers have to ask everybody at the checkout line if they have their Vic card, their very important customer card, yet. And if you were one of those, if you had the card, well, you got the discounts that day. And if not, full price for you, at least until you registered, right? And I think this is pretty annoying, to be told one day that something was on sale for everybody, and the next day that it was only for those who had a special Vic card. I remember my dad in the grocery line some years ago feeling that frustration. The poor 19-year-old cashier was just doing what he was told he had to do. "Good evening, sir. Do you have your very important customer card with us yet?" And Dad fired back, "No. I suppose I'm a fairly unimportant customer. Do you have a card with that acronym on it?" Which they did not, if you think about it. There's good reason for that. But these loyalty programs and discount cards, they've stayed around for a couple of decades now. Anybody think they're here because the store wants to give us better discounts? No, right? We know this is not what it's about. They want our data. They want to match my phone number with my credit card so they can track my purchases. They want my address so that they can then target their marketing at me very specifically. They say it's because I'm so important that they're giving me these discounts, but we know what's going on, right? They're only doing it because they want something from me. In that respect, not much has changed since Jesus started preaching at the dinner party of this Pharisee. Because in those days, in the Roman world, shame and honor were like a currency that you could build up and use to your advantage. And these fancy dinner parties were one of the best ways you could build up your status and standing. Give a party, and all the guests who come will owe you. Put somebody in a good seat, maybe they're even more in your debt. It wasn't just a nice evening with friends. It was about playing this game, jockeying for position, honor, and prestige that you could later use to get the things you wanted. You threw these parties because you wanted something from people. And as Jesus watched all these games being played, it seems like he was disgusted with it. He starts off with basically the same advice that we heard from Proverbs. Don't compete for the best places at the table, only to be told later that you got to move down to the kids' table. You're better off sitting at the lower seat so that you'll be honored when the host moves you up. Which is probably decent advice if what you're after is playing this game of honor. But the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright reminds us, Jesus didn't come to give good dinner party advice. So that's not what's going on here. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Because under God's reign in the kingdom, the kind of social jockeying happening at this dinner party, the kind that happens in our lives, actually, if we can admit it, it's all exposed for what it is, and that is playing games. I mean, our games may not be so much about fancy dinners and guests of honor, but you know we pay attention to status. It impacts how we dress, what we drive, who we associate with, how we present ourselves online. We curate everything, right? To give a certain impression about who we are. We spend all this time and energy managing what other people think about us. And according to Jesus, that's all a big game, and it's not helpful in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it's foolishness. It doesn't matter. Of course, when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to see that, especially with advertising preying on our worst fears about how other people might see us if we don't have whatever they're selling, right? But it's all a sham. Really, it is. The best thing I can think to compare it to is high school, maybe middle school for some of us, and the ways that the social structure of who's cool and desirable and who is not plays out. When you're in it, boy, it seems like it matters. Sometimes it feels like it might be life and death even. Who thinks you're cool? Who notices you? Who doesn't? Where do you sit in the cafeteria and with whom? These things can seem like they define your life in a lot of ways. But once you're out of it, once you're a few years on the other side of it all, well, then it's really clear, isn't it, those of us who have been through that transition already, none of that defines you, not at all. Of course, there can be lasting effects of how we choose to treat other people from our time in school, but the labels that get assigned there, your social status as cool or not, that stuff pretty much all melts away the moment you walk out that door and don't come back. I went to a really big high school, and I can't tell you how many of the kids that didn't quite fit in, who were a little weird, have turned into super interesting and super successful people. And it was because that cool kid stuff, it wasn't real. It was just a game. And all the status stuff that we play at, it isn't real either. What is real is Jesus, who is right now in this moment bringing in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, the humble will be exalted. It's not because they deserve it, but because God loves them. This is the gift of God's grace for the world and for us. So forget the game. Practice intentional kindness. Care for the people who you know can't pay you back. Risk your comfortable status for the sake of loving somebody in need. Make it your business to associate not with the VIPs, but with the fairly unimportant people. Which is, of course, a misnaming, right? Because we know that all people are made in the image of God, and that alone gives each person infinite worth. Whether you are on the top of the social pecking order or the bottom, you are claimed by God in the waters of your baptism. And that means despite whatever society has to say about your worth, at God's table, you have a place of honor. In Jesus, at this table, you receive nothing less than life abundant and everlasting. So don't worry about how your life might look to other people. Your calling is to seek out the people that this world deems fairly unimportant and to be with them. In Jesus, the love of God has overflowed and you are covered in blessing. So invite the outcasts and with kindness spread God's love. Amen.
Please join together in reaffirming our faith through the Apostles' Creed found on 105 in the hymnal or on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He has
sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. God of peace, we pray for the leaders, teachers, and preachers in all the world who share your word and who reveal you through humble sacrifice. We particularly pray for our sister synod and the Lutheran Church of Papua New Guinea. Uphold and sustain all who seek to live in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of generosity, we pray for crops growing ripe in the fields and fruit becoming ready to harvest. Grant safety to workers who will gather this bounty and bless the yield to come. Provide safe shelter to all those in the path of Hurricane Dorian. Lord, in your mercy. God of power, We pray for humility, kindness, and generosity to be instilled in the leaders of all nations. Inspire them to become models of servanthood and to work for worldwide peace and prosperity. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we pray for all those who are forgotten or pushed aside, for those who are suffering from poverty, neglect, physical or emotional trauma, those who are homeless or who are without a homeland, those affected by the shootings in Odessa, and those who are sick, especially Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Walter, Bobby, the family of Lydia, Aldine, Sheila, Lydia, Walt, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, the family of Eric, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Kathy, Jan, Buddy, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, Frankie, Andy, Caitlin, the family of Finn, Marie, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
God of grace, we pray for students of all ages and disciplines, teachers and professors, teaching assistants and aides, substitute teachers and administrators. Provide safety in travel and in the classroom so that a spirit of learning is fostered for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of peace.
Oh.
come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all the rest. Give me Jesus. And when I want to sing, and when I want to sing, and when I want to sing, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Before we sing, I wanted to give a brief update that I should have given already about a couple of folks we're praying for. One is for Aldine Conrad. A couple of folks had asked, and Aldine had had a couple of infections and over several days had several falls that he wasn't able to get up from in this weakened state, and that's been about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. Aldine's over at Lexington Healthcare and will be for about another week or so, week and a half. The other one is Walt Anderson, who has been living alone since Sue died back, I think, in April. And Walt, this week, got in sort of a bout of disorientation and confusion, and that's been fairly persistent. And so he's at the hospital here in Lexington, and not himself really, and it's not clear what if there'll be improvement on that. So they're working on the next steps for Walt. So keep him and Aldine in your prayers, if you would. We'll sing as we go.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.